Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Original thought, by the way, being thoughts of the Creator. The living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who guides the program as much as I will allow, as much as I will yield. And hopefully I'll do that today and be edifying and maybe entertaining, possibly. Starting with a confluence of two disturbing facts here on New Year's Eve. And I'm not talking about the disturbing facts of allowing pro-Hamas terrorist protesters to disrupt New Year's Eve festivities. That's the least of it. You know, I've got to say, now we're going to air before midnight on New Year's Eve, and I just hope that the terrorists that the pro-Hamas protesters encourage don't join them at any of the festivities for New Year's Eve with terrorism. I hope not. I hope that doesn't happen. But those aren't the events I'm talking about. I'm talking about a confluence of two other disturbing facts here on the eve of 2024. There are now more illegal aliens crossing the border into America than there are live births. That's right. This is according to government data, and this is only the known encounters with illegal aliens crossing the border. This is only known encounters. So that means there are a bunch of unknown illegal aliens slipping into the border, meaning the number now certainly dwarfs the number of live births in America. So American women are not having babies. These are the two events that are coming together here. Number one, American women just aren't having babies. And number two, the criminally insane perverts who've seized civilization are importing their slaves and voters and whatever else they use these people for. It's tragic, I'm sure. But they're importing them at a breakneck speed. And it doesn't bode well for the future of America as we knew it. And I guess that's all I've got to say about it. I guess I just wanted to comment on that's disturbing to me. And there's more on that. There's more on that. There are now about 50 million people living in America that were not born here. And that's 15% of the population. Those are just the ones we can count. Now, keep in mind, about 20% of the population brought about the end of the previous government here on this continent. That would have been the English back in the late 18th century. That's right. Less than 20% of the population overthrew the government of England. Now, I know this, it's not 1776, but it's just disturbing, that's all. Because these are not God-fearing, hard-working people coming here. Oh, I'm sure there's some, but not enough. And there aren't enough hard-working, God-fearing people living here, having babies here. And so it's just, here on the eve of a new year, I thought I would point out the rather disturbing, generationally significant, demographically concerning, and all of that. Speaking of that, that takes us right into the insurrection file, where MSN.com, that's right, I got a story from MSN.com. How often does that happen? Not very often. It's about a young Muslim girl named Zaitar, who was so heartbroken over the conflict in Palestine that she organized a protest in her town, not her hometown, because she's from somewhere else, but from her town of Huntsville, Alabama. She organized a pro-Hamas rally, and she was concerned that maybe she'd be harassed or run out of town by a bunch of rednecks. But it turns out dozens of fellow Muslims showed up in the town square there in Huntsville, Alabama, and supported her, decrying Israel's invasion of the Gaza Strip and calling for a ceasefire. That's right. So here we got a Muslim organizing Muslims in the town square in Huntsville, Alabama, protesting for the terrorists. Well, I know, they dress it up as just sob stories for the Palestinian women and children being indiscriminately bombed by the evil Israelis. But it's a pro-terrorist, pro-communist, by the way, protest right there in Huntsville, Alabama, and you can't get enough rednecks to show up. It's just embarrassing, frankly. So after she organized her successful protest in her pro-Marxist, pro-terrorist protest there in Huntsville, Alabama, she announced proudly to the news media, "There is a Palestinian voice in this city." And MSN goes on to report that across the nation, in the Deep South, in Appalachia, even in the Midwest, protests in support of the Palestinians are springing up. They're springing up like, yeah. They're springing up. They're being funded and organized by leftist agitators, the same leftist agitators and communists who've been funded by George Soros and other lowlifes for the better part of my adult lifetime and for the better part of the previous century, with the goal of bringing down America. That's how they're springing up. Oh, and then there's the fact that wave after wave of Muslim immigrants have been pouring into the United States since the 1970s. That's right. And they've now settled into states all throughout the South and the Midwest. And they've basically infiltrated America with a communist false religion and the spirit of Antichrist. And they were all imported by Democrats and Republicans side by side, all of them. This isn't Joe Biden's fault. This isn't the George W. Bush or the other CIA Bush, George Bush Sr. This can't be laid at the feet of them. This is laid at the feet of us. We've allowed this to happen because of our own laziness, stupidity, affluence, and laziness, mostly. And so the Muslims and the foreign-born anti-Christ, anti-Americans are on the precipice of having a significant enough plurality in the population to destroy the country. And so there, and here's a further evidence of that from the insurrection file. The New York Times published an op-ed from Hamas's mayor of Gaza. The New York Times, they published, yeah, last Sunday, Suraj, what's his name? Should I get his name right here? Hama, Suraj Mohammed. He's the governor of, I'm sorry, the mayor of Hamas. I'm sorry, not the mayor of Hamas. He's Hamas's mayor of Gaza. I don't have his name here, but I don't care. He faulted the Israeli military for the loss of Gazan culture. That's right, you know, all of the cultural achievements there in Gaza that have happened over the past 80 years, the towering achievements of cultural superiority have all been destroyed. The libraries. And then he cited the main public library. Oh, and the zoo, and when asked to point to other cultural achievements, he pointed back to the zoo. And then he brought up the Children's Happiness Center. The Children's Happiness Center, which was installed in Gaza by Hamas. You see, they had to build and designate a children's happiness center because in Gaza, the children are raised as instruments of hate and terror, and there is no organic happiness. And so the Marxist terrorists who rule Gaza, they designated a children's happiness center where they mandated children's happiness, and now apparently even that has been destroyed by the evil invaders from Israel. And the New York Times allows the terrorist mayor of Hamas to publish an op-ed. That's from the insurrection file. And while this is all going on, we reported last week that the terrorists had closed the Red Sea and the Suez Canal for all intents and purposes. Well, this now the hapless Western pile of perverts who allegedly govern have organized Operation Prosperity Guardian. That's right, 20 countries combining forces to protect the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden and the Suez Canal, including the United States, United Kingdoms, Bahrain, Canada, France, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, the Seychelles, Greece, Australia, and Spain, all together to try to stop a bunch of inbred, illiterate misfits who wouldn't know how to operate a flush toilet, and they've shut down shipping for the Western world. You know, the inability of the Western powers to stop the Iranian-sponsored Houthi terrorism in the Red Sea, this is the soft appeasement of Islam, and it's eerily reminiscent of the appeasement of the fascists in the 1930s. And the appeasement of Islam goes back. I mean, I remember Reagan back in the early 80s when the Muslims blew up the Marines in the barracks in Lebanon, and Reagan did squat. Why? Because we didn't want to inflame the Muslim world. It's the same thing the French and the Polish and the Bulgarians and the Hungarians. It's the same thing they all said about Hitler. No, don't make him mad. Don't make him mad. And they've been doing this now with the Muslims for, well, my entire life, but it goes back further. 1948, 1967, 1972 with the slaughter of the Israeli athletes right at the Olympics on TV. And no, let's not attack and wipe these people out and annihilate the terrorist governments within these Muslim countries and heal the Muslim beast. No, let's not do that. Why? For fear we might inflame them. Anyway, it's just like they said with Hitler. Allow him to have his sphere of influence and don't do anything to provoke him, and maybe he'll just leave us all alone. Uh-huh. And folks, just like the political and business leaders of the 1930s were prepared to align with Hitler, thinking he might win, and believe me, they were. I mean, in Vichy France, they did. But they were all prepared to align themselves with Hitler. Had Hitler managed to knock England out within 6 months, the whole world would have fallen in line with Adolf Hitler, slaughtered as many Jews as they could have, and slaughtered everybody else. And 1,000 years of darkness and all of that. They were all ready to do it. And so are our political leaders and our cultural leaders and our business leaders right now. They're willing to align with some form of a China-Muslim axis if they think that will butter their bread most efficiently. They're all ready to do it. Whoever ends up on top, that's who they'll roll with. And if it happens to be China and Islam, then to hell with Christian civilization and freedom of speech and the Constitution and God bless America. To hell with all that. They could care less. They'll feed us to the lions. It's just sad to watch. Now, I have an update on Prosperity Guardian, Operation Prosperity Guardian. So they managed to escort two Maersk vessels through the Red Sea, I think on Saturday. But then on New Year's Eve, one was struck with a cruise missile. meaning the Houthis are not afraid of the alliance, the massive alliance that I just announced, which you'd think would scare them, right? I mean, after all, it's the U.S., the U.K., Bahrain, Canada, France, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, the Seychelles, Greece, Australia, Spain, all the might of the Western world, and the Houthis still launched a cruise missile and hit a Maersk tanker on New Year's Eve because they're not afraid. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I want to give you an update on Argentina's President Milei, who I hadn't paid much attention to because I had him confused with another guy. So I don't have time to pay attention to all these third world machinations. And Milei, whose first name I don't even have written down here, which is kind of embarrassing. Do you remember his name? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer because he knew she had been following the Argentine elections with Jose.
Juan?
I don't know. I don't have his first name down here, but he is the Argentine. They call him not a progressive, not a globalist. He would be the opposite of that. He's the nationalist, populist. Anyway, he has, yes, Javier, what were the odds? You were pretty close. You had several of the letters, right? There was a J in there. Javier Milei. I had him confused with a tantric Hindu who was running in some other third world Latin American country. So I hadn't really paid much attention to him. But now I've read an article on him. And because he introduced his omnibus bill to basically try to extract Argentina from the jaws of the Marxist, criminally insane cult that has seized civilization in the Western world. And so because he has made an attempt to do that, he got my attention. And then I found out he's not a tantric Hindu. He's, he's not sure what he is as far as his religious beliefs, but he's not a criminally insane pervert. So that's something, right? I mean, it's a low bar these days, but you'll take it. He has, he's basically issued a law, if it's passed by the legislature, that would give him pretty much dictatorial powers for a period of 2 years to, again, extract his nation from the jaws of the criminally insane. And it would ban the gathering of three or more persons and make it a crime if they tried to impede the free transit of provisions or public services. That would break up the Marxist street protests with the greenies blocking traffic. And then he would also, he wants to subject 41 public enterprises to privatization. The communists in Argentina control just about everything. I know they call themselves socialists, but they're a bunch of communists. He wants to privatize the oil industry, the airlines, the railroads, everything that should be private, he wants to privatize. Let's see. Javier Milei was raised a Catholic, but he's been a vocal critic of fellow Argentine Pope Francis, the communist pope. So Milei has been repulsed by the pope. And it's driven Milei to the brink of converting to Judaism. That's how bad the Pope has put such a bad taste for Christianity in the mouth of Javier Milei that he may convert to Judaism. Uh-huh. Yeah, he came to America. The first thing he did was visit rabbis and the Holocaust Museum. And so that's how detrimental a Pope we have. So I find out Milei is not a Hindu. He's a relative agnostic, teetering between Christianity and Judaism. And so now he's got my attention because we could use him on our side with the Christians. He's issued a 664-article bill not 666. But 664 articles to address a variety of issues to seize back control of Argentina from the pervert Marxists. He should have went ahead with 666. I mean, you're going against the Antichrist, for crying out loud. You might as well go. Well, anyway, so we're going to pray for Javier Milei to be enlightened to the fact that the Pope in no way represents Christianity. And the reason he's attracted to Judaism is because as a child, he heard about Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Judaism. And that's it. And so Milei just needs to get through the fog of Catholicism and come to the realization that his instincts for free market economics and liberty and prosperity and the blessings and all of that, they come from Christianity. And so just leave the whole Pope thing aside. And anyway, we hope that Javier Milei is granted these dictatorial powers that he's asked for. Because in order to extract Western civilization from the communists, democracy ain't gonna do it, sweetheart. I'm sorry. It's been a fun ride with democracy. I hope you saved some pennies because it's gonna be a rough landing. And speaking of democracy, just in case you're wondering about democracy and where that might lead, we go to England where a new survey asked 2,000 British residents if, speaking of books, if there are offending parts of the books, and if we're not able to edit out the offending parts of the books, should the books be banned? By the way, including the Bible. So they asked 2,000 British residents about that. And about 25% of those age 18 to 35 said yes. 25% of young people in Britain think we should ban the Bible if it offends them. Europe is lost. Europe is lost. And the Muslims will rule Europe in my lifetime without firing a shot. Because the young people now believe that they have the right to ban the Bible because it offends them. Folks, one of the fundamentals of Christianity is that the Bible is supposed to offend you. At some point in your life, you should face some sort of guilt scenario over the fact that you're just never-ending feeding and satisfying your own personal lusts and appetites, and that should make you feel guilty at some point so that you realize you're a sinner. And it's the Bible. What else is going to offend you, by the way? Is Hollywood going to... Is Madison Avenue, the advertisers... Is it the people at work? No, nobody. Nobody is going to, especially these days, nobody's going to tell anyone that you shouldn't have the right to just satisfy your own personal appetites and lusts all the time. As long as you're a good person. So it's only the Bible that can make you feel guilty and offend you. And now the young people think they have a right to ban the Bible. And the older people, the grown-ups, aren't telling them, no, that's wrong, you shouldn't say that, and slapping them beside the head and saying no. Because, well, there, that's where we are. That's Europe. And I'd be terrified to have this, to see the results of this survey on an American campus. It would be depressing. Anyway, WorldNet Daily goes on to report that in the United Kingdom, street preachers are routinely arrested, prosecuted for hate speech when they quote the Bible on the street in public. And, well, that's why I said, Europe is lost. Europe will be ruled by the Muslims in my lifetime, and they won't have to fire a shot. And so it's not just England, by the way. Christianity Today. I've got a report here from Protestia.com. Christianity Today is, it used to be a magazine, now it's an online, it's a resource, a Christian resource, allegedly. The name implies that Christianity Today, just in case you were wondering, it's not the same as yesterday. As in yesterday, today, and forever. No, that's not that's this brand of Christianity is different than that one. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so Christianity today, by the way, I believe one day we will find out when everything is revealed that Christianity today was actually founded by the Soviets as a disinformation propaganda tool, one of their most successful ones. And if the Marxists are allowed to win and they get to write the history, the only sad part of the history of Christianity today will be that those in the KGB who founded it were all either purged, executed, or they died in the gulags and they didn't get to see the success of one of their most effective propaganda campaigns. It was called Christianity Today. It's currently led by a fellow named Russell Moore. And he allowed the publication of an article last month about pronouns. Mm-hmm. The use of personal pronouns made it into the pages of Christianity Today. Now, folks, the use of personal pronouns used to be a simple grammatical exercise that you, maybe in sixth grade, there would be an exercise on the use of personal pronouns so that the teacher could make sure you knew what they were. Right? But that's not what it is anymore. No. That's now we all know what the use of personal pronouns means anymore. And the editors at Christianity Today know exactly what it's all about, but they published the article anyway. Why? Well, this is Christianity Today. We'll quote from the article. From the pages of Christianity Today, as reported by Protestia.com, quote, some evangelical Christians don't mind pronouns. Others believe referring to someone by a pronoun that doesn't match their birth sex makes ontological claims that should not be glossed over. Unquote. That's the article from Christianity Today. Notice they use the terms birth sex, ontological, and glossed over in the same paragraph, just so everybody knows where they're coming from. First of all, they're willing to use the vernacular of the left. Second, they have to use words with lots of extra S's, like glossed over. And they like to use words like ontological so they can make people think that they're still theologically deep. That's Christianity Today. That's with the cigar and the glasses and the bushy eyebrows. Christianity Today. Quack quack. Honk honk. That's right. And so the article goes on. Christians who've thought deeply about this issue. Wait, like, if you're reading that and you're a Christian, you have to stop right there, right? Because if you're a Christian who's thought deeply about the issue of pronouns, you're not a Christian, or at least you're not associated with the orthodoxy that most Christians are familiar with. You're someone else there at Christianity Today. Why? Because the issue of pronouns came up and you had to think deeply about it. Okay, wait a second. All right. So I'll continue. Christians who thought deeply about this issue understand language's central role in how we treat people as an image bearer of worth and value. Huh? An image bearer of worth and value? Wait a minute. This your Christianity Today. An image bearer of who? Huh? Not an image bearer of Christ? Not an image bearer of God? No, not at Christianity Today. You're an image bearer of worth and value. No, wait. An image bearer of worth and value? I think that's how it has to be read. The Christianity Today article on pronouns closes out, what's a Christian to do? Wait a second. How could you even ask that question? So every Christian in the audience knows what a Christian should do. Why are we still reading this article? Oh, because here, what's a Christian to do? Leaders hold a spectrum of opinions. Everything is changing so fast. We're figuring it out together, and we should give each other grace, says Christianity Today. So the only thing they can agree on at Christianity Today is that everything is changing so fast and that we're figuring it all out together and we should give each other grace. Hey, Christianity Today, it was figured out 5,000 years ago, the whole thing about he and she. Get ye behind me, Satan.
Well, baby, I'm easy, I'm easy, I'm easy.
All right, there you go. That is the theme song for the conscience of Russell Moore over at Christianity Today. Quack, 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 quack. Christianity Today. Okay, and so we'll leave Mr. Moore aside. Mr., should I say, Mr., Mrs., Ms., they, Moore, over at Christianity Today. We'll leave them aside. And we'll move from religion to politics. The two things you're never supposed to talk about are typically the number one and number two issue discussed here on The Worldview. And if it offends you, it's intended to offend you. I hope I make everyone feel bad about something at some point. Because here's the thing. At some point in my life, something offended me. It made me feel bad. And I had to stop and think. And I realized, man, you're a jerk. I'm a jerk. I need help. And it was uncomfortable. And I felt bad. And at first, I just wanted to fight it off. But there were adults who said, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to just say, ban it, get it away from me. No. They said, you know what? The reason you feel like you're a jerk is because you're a jerk. That's why. And that left me in a position to be open to hear the gospel and to hear the gospel, frankly, which is about, that's all I ask, is that we all be allowed to put people in a position where they're open to hear the gospel. Because at the end of the day, your feelings on December 31st, 2023, for 7.5 minutes, they don't matter. They're not going to matter. It's not going to matter how you felt for 7 or 8 minutes when you were offended by this or that on December 31st, 2023. That's not really going to be the issue. The issue is going to be whether or not you burn in hell forever because you were never open to hear the gospel. And I just hate to see that opportunity taken from other people. As uncomfortable as it is, all right. So from religion, we go to politics, to the Queering of America file, where the governor of Ohio, a Republican named Mike DeWine, has vetoed a ban on gender-affirming care and transgender athletes. The Associated Press reports that Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine vetoed a ban on gender-affirming care and transgender athletes, saying that he had listened to people on both sides. And Mike DeWine, Republican Governor of Ohio, says that he listened to people who all sincerely and truly believe their position best protects children. Said Mike DeWine, unable to know who's right or wrong about that. Which right there, you got to stop and you say, what's your problem, Mike? What are you, a child molester? How can you look at the other side? Not are you a liberal? No. Not are you slipping? No, are you some kind of closet sex pervert child molester? What do you mean you listen to people on both sides? The one who wants to chop it off might love the child more than the one who doesn't want to chop it off. Mike, you're disqualified. Mike DeWine should not be impeached. He should be arrested. Someone should seize his phone and find out what this guy's into. That I'm sorry. When you say that's where I'm at with this, Mike. He ultimately decided he could not support legislation that bans health care that, quote, so many patients, families, and doctors told me is saving lives, unquote. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He says these tough decisions should not be made by government. There, Mike admits. At least he admits he's unqualified. That's right. He says these type of decisions should not be made by the state. Okay, Mike, yes, the outlawing of crime is the responsibility of the state. Thank you for revealing to all of us that you're unqualified. Please turn around and face the wall. We're going to then I would handcuff the guy, throw a raincoat over his head, and drag him into a paddy wagon. Let's see. So the bill was sponsored by Republicans in the state house where they wanted to somehow regulate. I'm sure they didn't want to ban transgendered mutilation surgeries or boys competing in sports. I'm sure they didn't want to ban it. But the Republicans in Ohio probably just wanted to regulate it in some way that would make them look more conservative to their hapless moronic donors so that they could raise money to get into office so that they could make more money and buy more champagne and bigger cars and whatever it is Republican politicians do with all the money that their hapless moronic donors give them as they destroy the nation a little more slowly than the Democrats. However that all works, that's what the Republicans were trying to do, and Mike DeWine stopped them from even doing that, at which point the bill's sponsor, Republican Gary there in Ohio, he said, well, in spite of the fact that we disagree, I commend Governor DeWine for trying to wrap his mind around a complex problem in a short amount of time, said Representative Gary Click. Gary then went on to defend his own years of research on the bill. So it's taken the guys on our side years of research to wrap their mind around the complex problem of who's a boy and who's a girl. It's as if the Republicans in government have been trained to not be able to discern right from wrong. It's as if someone has trained them specifically to be confused. They're sitting there with the perpetual Tucker Carlson look on their face, huh? They should know certain things intuitively, like what's a boy and what's a girl, and who should be on the boys' softball team and the girls. Who could have possibly taught someone like Mike DeWine and Representative Gary Click to be this unnaturally confused? Who could have done that? I'm going to assume it was the Christians. And it wasn't, it's not that the Christians don't have to train people to be confused. All they have to do is fail to teach them not to be confused. And that's what's happened here, is the Christians have failed the politicians. And I want to apologize on behalf of the Christians. I apologize, Mr. DeWine and Mr. Click, that we weren't more firm with you in your formative years as politicians. So here's the thing, folks. Politicians are generally shallow, relatively stupid posers, and they weren't attractive enough to go off to Hollywood, but they're of the same ilk as the degenerates who end up in Hollywood. They're just not as good looking, and so they can't make it there, and so they end up in the state house. They end up in, and these type of people, they're generally vacuous people, and they need positive input on what they're supposed to do because they don't know. Or it's not that they don't know, it's they're willing to do anything. And we as Christians and adults, we have failed to give them the direction that they need. And instead we've encouraged them in their shallow emptiness because we didn't want to offend them and make them feel bad. And now they're going to destroy the country. And 100 million of our children will be slaughtered because we didn't want to offend the sensibilities of a bunch of vacuous, empty posers who needed our help, frankly. We shouldn't have failed them. And so we need to stop that right now. Stop being afraid to offend the sensibilities of someone who, in the long arc of history, nobody's going to care that their feelings were hurt for a few minutes. And it might be the one thing that turns their whole life around. Because it's hard to tell someone they need a savior when they don't even realize what a sinner they are. And that's and I say that about Donald Trump, too. It's frankly, it's been being done to him for at least the past 5 years. All right. Meanwhile, we go from Governor DeWine to USA Boxing. That's right. USA Boxing, where we have a report that the USA Boxing is the governing body that oversees America's amateur and Olympic style boxing. They have announced they will allow transgenders to compete. That's right, in boxing. Now, I thought there were only men in boxing. I thought, what, are they going to let women into boxing? What woman in her right mind is going to want to transgender over to be pummeled and beaten senseless by some guy? But it turns out there's girls boxing. That's right. One Aussie star has lodged a protest because she thinks the policy will harm women's boxing. And so here's the thing. I think women's boxing is a harm. It's in and of itself, let alone allowing men to trans over and then pummel women. Who wants to watch two women beat each other senseless? Is that seriously? That's a barometer of the collapse of Western civilization right there. The fact that someone's willing to buy tickets to that. And now they're going to let the trannies in. Things have definitely gotten worse than I thought. So now there's an appropriate place to fit this story in. Speaking of the unrelenting decline and fall of Western civilization, listen to this. This is from the Kill All the Lawyers file. A Florida woman is suing the Hershey Chocolate Company, claiming she was tricked through misleading packages on Reese's seasonally shaped peanut butter cup snacks, candies. That's right. Cynthia of Tampa is suing the chocolate company Hershey's for $5 million. $5 million because she claims the packaging and the actual candy contents did not match. That's right. And she claims that that's somehow worth $5 million. And so you know how we know this can't be true? At least the assertion. So it's her lawyers who are making that assertion of $5 million. Because Cynthia and her entire family for the next three generations will never earn $5 million. So there's no way that any offense that happened in Cynthia's life could possibly be actually worth $5 million. It's just that the lawyers who trolled through Walmart or the Waffle House or wherever they found Cynthia, they're just looking for someone who, let's find someone who looks like they enjoy peanut butter cups. Oh, look. They found Cynthia. She stood out in a crowd. And they told her, Cynthia, does this offend you? This could be worth several $100, Cynthia. She said, yes, I'm offended. And they signed her up. And now it's a class action suit for $5 million against Hershey's. She claims that peanut butter cups that claim to look like pumpkins, Halloween pumpkins, did not have eyes and mouths cut out. That hurt her feelings badly. She was offended. She claimed that the alleged football-shaped Hershey's peanut butter cups did not meet her standards of what a football should look like. And, of course, all of that means she's suing for five. She says, here's what's claimed she said. She says, Hershey's labels for the products are materially misleading, and numerous consumers have been tricked and misled by the pictures on the products. Her lawyers claim this is what she thinks. So I want to see video showing that she didn't eat the candy. Because if you ate it, Cynthia, I'm sorry, I was disturbed. I was offended. I felt misled. I mean, I ate the candy anyway, of course. But, all right, get out of here with that. Anyway, you know what this reminded me of? I eat Oreo cookies upon occasion once in a while. And on the front of an Oreo cookies package, there's this giant Oreo cookie that looks like it's leaping out of or into a glass of milk. And there's milk droplets splashing in this giant Oreo cookie. And next to it, in tiny print, it says, "Image enlarged to show detail." As if you had to tell me that on the package of Oreos, I shouldn't expect to open it up and find one giant Oreo. That you need to tell me that what I should expect are a number of smaller Oreo cookies, not this giant Oreo cookie. And I've always thought to myself, there's obviously a lawyer involved for why that would be written on the... So we should go back and try to find the history of who was it who sued the Oreo company saying, "Hey, I was expecting one giant cookie to be leaping out of my milk." It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney.
I'm sorry.
Had to come in before that one made my eardrums start bleeding.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Not sure how that made it into the mix. It's just the responsibility of my extremely attractive audio engineer. Oh, that's right. It's for the lawyers. That was for their ears. Take that. That was from the Kill All the Lawyers file. We now go into the Law and Grace file, where we check in at Michigan Health Hospital Group there in Michigan, who fired physician's assistant Valerie Klusterman. They fired her due to her response to questions about gender pronouns. That's right, not pronouns in general. She didn't fail a grammar exam. No, these were about gender pronouns. She says, quote, "They asked me, will you use preferred pronouns and will you refer patients for gender surgery," unquote. That was the question put to PA Valerie Klusterman. "I said, I can't do that," she said, at which point the crowd went wild and everyone cheered and thought, maybe there's hope for Western civilization. There's someone in medicine who's not willing to accede to this maniacal insanity of mutilating mentally disturbed people. And so we're all very happy that Valerie stood up, and thank you, Valerie. I wish she would have just stopped there and quit. So for all of you out there, just stop there and quit, okay? Valerie Klusterman is a physician's assistant. She will be able to somehow sustain her life so she doesn't end up living under a bridge, begging, okay? Somehow she will find a way. But Valerie has been trolled by another group of lawyers, and now she's going to sue Michigan Health for firing her when she should have just quit and walked out. That would have been, but she didn't. They fired her, and now she's going to sue over all of this, and now she's gotten in with the lawyers. The lawyers at First Liberty are now going to claim that they violated her First Amendment rights. And, so now instead of saying, "I can't do that," now she says, "There was no place on the form to simply state that this would have been compromising my faith," unquote. So that's what the lawyers told her to say, because that's not what she said. She said, "I can't do that," is what she said. Then that was the right thing. But now there's way too many words involved. There's no place on the form for me to just simply state that this would have been compromising my faith. I don't think it's... Anyway, lawyers for First Liberty argue that Klusterman is protected under the First Amendment as well as Title VIII, whatever that is. That's a federal law that protects employees from discrimination, in which we lawyers have made sure religion is specifically listed as a protected class. And so the lawyers at First Liberty are seeking to force Michigan Health to give Klusterman a religious accommodation and some amount of money that would go to the lawyers. So we're not going to talk about the money necessarily, but there will be some fairly significant amount of money involved. An amount of money that any normal American would find to be an atrociously large amount of money will be involved. But this is all really about, this is about the principle of the thing. Okay, so no, it's not about the principle of the thing anymore. It was about the principle of the thing when the PA said, I can't do that, I'm out of here, you're a bunch of perverts. Which is what she should have done. But now the lawyers got a hold of her, and they will get her to argue this case on anything except the Bible, God, right and wrong, the fact that men are men and women are women because that's the way God created them. The lawyers will not allow her to say any of that. And allegedly, that's what underlies her decision to say, I will not comply. That's allegedly what's all underneath all this. She calls it her faith, whatever that means. My faith. That's what the lawyers want you to call it your faith. They don't want you to say right or wrong or God or Christian or Jesus Christ or the Garden of Eden or Adam and Eve. No, don't say any of that. Anyway, now instead of saying just I can't do that, Klusterman says nobody should abandon their faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, she says, just simply be pleasing to God, and may God be glorified in what happens. Is it okay for me to say God? The lawyers are like, yeah, it's okay to say God. Anybody can say God. God doesn't mean anything. You can say that. Just don't say Jesus Christ or Adam and Eve, and don't quote the Bible. We'll win this case. All right. Anyway, Valerie, we appreciate the fact that you recognize that men are men and women are women. Frankly, that's a low bar. I'm not really impressed, but, you know, that's something. You should stick with the fact that the Bible informs you of what's right and wrong, that you're going to uphold that standard, and forget compromising with the lawyers to win a court case. The court case won't matter. 100 years from now, it will not matter whether or not these lawyers recovered $40,000 and got the Michigan Health to apologize to you. That will not matter. What will matter is whether or not society has degenerated into a giant murder-suicide because nobody could remember what a boy was and what a girl was anymore. That's what matters. And that's not going to be upheld, proven, or in court. No. None of that's going to happen in civil court. This happens when people of principle stand up in their workplace and say, no, go straight to hell, I quit. That's how we win this battle. Not compromising with lawyers who won't let us mention Jesus Christ. All right, now let's move on from that. We're going to move on. This next story is, the next two stories are so disturbing that... Well, let me, this is from the Stone Cold Killer's file. Live Action News reports that an Instagram model has accused an NBA player of forcing her to kill her child. That's right. An Instagram model, whatever that means, I think that's a voyeur, an exhibitionist pervert slut on Instagram, ends up with an NBA player for half an hour, Anthony Edwards, and she ends up pregnant. And he pressured her into killing her child, who that would have been a problem, except the child was unborn. And so it was okay with pretty much everybody. In fact, it was so okay that everyone can talk about this publicly, that he wanted her to kill another human being, and he offered to pay her $100,000 to do it, and she did it. And it's all posted online, and nobody's in jail. Because this particular person involved was a completely defenseless unborn child. And so in that case, it's okay to pay someone $100,000 to kill him. And he did it and she did it. The incriminating messages, according to Live Action, were posted online. The aforementioned Instagram slut model and exhibitionist named Paige became pregnant by Anthony Edwards. Edwards, by the way, is already expecting a child with some other slut named Janine. And so that obviously this other one was problematic. And after sending Edwards a photo of a positive pregnancy test, he immediately replied, "Get an abortion, LOL." He replied, "Get an abortion, LOL." That's how young people think about abortion. Talk about training people to think and do certain things. Get an abortion, LOL. She said, "No, I really don't want to. I had an abortion 2 years ago, and I regret it every day." Edwards then demanded incessantly that the woman send him pictures of her taking the abortion pill. He wanted to see a video of her proving that she took the abortion pill, which she sent him a video that proved she took the abortion pill. She then shared a screenshot of a $100,000 wire transfer from him. She posted that up on her social media. A contract hit public right in front of God and everybody because they have no conscience about it. They've been told it's good and right and healthy, and it's their rights, their constitutional right. In fact, they're being great Americans by doing that. That's what they believe. He paid for the hit, Anthony Edwards. He released a statement in which he said he was embarrassed about the whole situation, obviously. He said, "I made comments that are not me. They're not aligned with what I believe. All women should be supported and empowered to make their own decisions about their bodies. I am handling my personal matters privately and will not be commenting any further." And that was it. And then he was allowed to do that. And then he was allowed to go and play basketball because there's obviously a lot of money involved, you know. And so he's allowed to just do this. Now, he says that he said some things that were not him. Now, obviously, the promise of $100,000 to kill the baby, that was him because he did wire the money. So whatever comments he made, those are separated from the wire transfer of the $100,000 he paid the woman to kill the other person. Timberwolves head coach, that he plays for the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards does. The Timberwolves head coach, Chris, he released a statement saying, "This is not reflective of our organization, but it's a personal matter. And any conversations will remain private." And because, hey, listen, when you have to kill somebody and there's other people involved, you know, the killers and those who enable them, they typically keep such matters private. And the coach expects you to understand that, look, we're killing someone here. You think we want to talk about this publicly? Isn't that common knowledge? Right? Because we're all in on it, right? If you think about it. I mean, those of us who speak up and say that everyone here should be arrested and put on trial, we're not in on it. But pretty much everyone's in on this murder. Everyone's been let in on it and then let it go. Like, it's okay. It's just, we're living in a bizarre, twisted, upside-down world. Where two people can murder another person in broad daylight in front of God and everybody, talk about it, pay each other over it, and nobody's... I just want to tell Anthony Edwards, you're going straight to hell, you rotten bastard, for what you've done. And to this pig woman, you're going straight to hell. You're going straight to hell. You should fear God. You should wake up in the night sweating, terrified for what is in store for you for what you've done. Meanwhile, I've got an article from WorldNet Daily about Dakota Greeley, who's a 20-year-old man. He was arrested after shooting 25-year-old Trisha Cole to death with a rifle. He shot the woman, and then as he was trying to get away from the police who were closing in on him, he ran over her body with the getaway vehicle after shooting her dead. Trisha Cole, 25 years old, She was pregnant. She was pregnant. According to hospital staff who testified in the case after the murder of Trisha Cole, Dakota Greeley had discovered her pregnancy during a medical visit. And at that time, the boyfriend, Dakota, asked, quote, "Can we kill it now?" unquote. That's how he asked. Can we kill it now? Hospital staff said that Greeley also asked for information about exactly how to go about killing the unborn child. And for whatever reason, someone resisted Dakota's desire to kill the child. And the abortion didn't happen. For some reason, we don't know why. We don't have the details. But someone had the courage to stand up and say, no, you can't kill it now. You can't kill it ever. Someone, maybe it was Trisha Cole who just said, I can't do that. And Dakota then shot her to death in order to kill her. Well, in order to kill the child, which is what he wanted to do in the first place. He just wanted to kill the child. But since that was not an available option, he decided to kill the mother and the child. Because someone told him that he had the right to kill that child. And so he was just exercising his rights. In fact, you might call him a great American, exercising his constitutional right to an abortion. Well, no, that's supposed to be the woman's right. And it's all about her body, right? Well, this proves that it wasn't really only about her body. Because people are upset that her body is dead. But the boyfriend, he only wanted to kill the other body. So this puts the lie to all of that. And another thing that I was shocked to learn this. Just an awful, horrible story. Horrible. This is why God made hell. And this is why people need Jesus Christ and forgiveness. Because people are capable of some of the most horrible, awful, unbelievably terrible things. Homicide is the leading cause of death among pregnant women in the United States. Women in the United States are more likely to be murdered during pregnancy or soon after childbirth than to die from any of the three top obstetric complications combined. If you ask someone, what's the leading cause of death among pregnant women? They would say, complications. No, not even close. Not the top three. It's murder. All right, I hate to end on that, but this is why we need Jesus Christ. And so, that's the Weekly Worldview for this week. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.